Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're visiting with Mr. Steve Braverman, who is a co-founder, former co-CEO, and now co-chairman of Pathstone, an advisory firm providing advice to help clients create, manage, and preserve wealth across generations. His book, Your Time with the Baton, Winning the Relay Race of Family Wealth Stewardship, shares how to embrace the opportunity of wealth management and transfer. And Mr. Braverman, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. And I'm sure we're going to learn a few things from you today. So thanks for your time. So for starters, what tends to be the biggest blunder when it comes to transferring wealth from one generation to the next?
Absolutely. Well, Eric, thank you again. So as I know, as entrepreneurs, we're all incredibly focused on wealth creation, about building businesses that have longevity and success. And, you know, effectively for us as a wealth management family office organization, we're all about continuing that message into the success of the family. And just as entrepreneurs plan for multi-generational management and outcomes and empowerment of their emerging leaders, what we're really messaging here with the book is a desire to embrace that same concept. The idea that, you know, we are, as successful entrepreneurs, going to be building lasting enterprises on the family wealth side. And that next generation really needs the help and stewardship the same way we help and manage and engage with our next generation leaders inside the business. So the blunder is really what we see, unfortunately, is entrepreneurs are so focused and so proud, rightfully so, of the businesses that they're building, that they don't think as much about the idea of the legacy that they're leaving behind. And so many of them approach, as they're creating, call it the multi-generational wealth that we all as entrepreneurs embrace and enjoy as part of the process, that multi-generational wealth is more than just something that gets governed by the completion of a trust document with an attorney. You know, where a lot of people think, okay, I've completed my trust planning, that is the end of the process. Our debate or discussion or our argument would be that that is actually the beginning of the process. And whereas none of us really want to talk about when I'm gone, this is your money, or when I am gone, this is how I'd like you to help steward the business or perpetuate the family legacy. This concept of the opportunity, let's do it while we're alive. Let's do it while we can have impact. Let's do it while, in the same way as we're managing and partnering with our business partners, let's really create that partnership and opportunity inside the family. So again, to your question, the blunder is really in thinking that, oh, you know, I'll just do this trust document and that'll take care of things, and I'll leave it to my trustee to govern and or guide or advise my next generation. And what the book is really about is as you've just said, embracing that opportunity to do it while you're here and to really have the lasting impact and the joy of the experience. So that's really what it's about.
Certainly a great way to kick things off here today. And speaking of the biggest blunder when it comes to transferring wealth from one generation to the next, why does this happen so often, these blunders?
Well, yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, we call it the talk, or in the family office business, we talk about investments and related, you know, mathematical dynamics being the hard issues and the family dynamics and legacy planning to be the soft issues, but it's really quite the opposite. Those soft issues are the hardest ones to grasp. And, you know, even for those that historically have engaged the industry, my industry, to have these types of conversations, it's very much, unfortunately, unintentioned, I'm sure, but it turns into these heavy-handed conversations where I'm giving you the money as the grantor, or it's a give and take, or when I die. And, you know, it doesn't create an audience or an empowerment for those receiving the wealth to feel like they have anything other than the opportunity to listen. Many of the circumstances that we deal with entrepreneurial families is they've done beautiful jobs, again, building their business, but you know, the next generation in many cases simply doesn't want to, you know, continue that same passionate engagement. Maybe they don't have the, you know, same managerial aptitude or business savvy to run the business as effectively or as completely as we as entrepreneurs have done so in the first generation, that wealth creating generation. And so, you know, perpetuating this issue of addressing it and saying to your next gen, hey, look, you know, I love what I did as an entrepreneur, and it was personally fulfilling and very gratifying, and of course created wonderful opportunities financially for the family to perpetuate itself and have real societal impact. What can I do as a grantor of wealth? What can I do to you to help you own your legacy? Or as we make the analogy here in the book, what can I do for you in terms of giving you your leg of the relay race to run? I'm going to hand you this baton. You're going to have a lead as it relates to your leg of the race. How can I help you enjoy that running of that leg? How can I ensure that when you finish your leg, you're handing the baton with an equal, if not greater, lead to the next recipient? And that when we completely as a family are finished running the race, maybe like a game of telephone tag, the message looks far different, the business looks far different, but success is defined by perpetuating the family's values, having positive impact in society, building and engaging successful, fully diversified, experiences for the family and for the community, all part of what will really mark a successful outcome. And so that's really what we're excited about.
Now, also speaking of values, how do generational values play into the dynamics of this?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. And that's again, a key question, right? Because we all know that these today's generational differences are as great as they've always been. And so what is important to our upcoming generation is in many ways far different than what was important or is important to us, and certainly what was important to the generation before ours. And so it's all about this, again, using the analogy of the book, it's all about the engagement of coach and player. It's all about understanding that, hey, look, what makes you tick is different than what makes me tick. And where we see these generational transfers really fail is because that granting generation wants to imply or infer that their values, their approach, what makes them tick, what gives them value, is what's going to have to work for the receiving generation. It's a changing world. It's a world where people are defining success differently. I think no better example than today's generational differences than this concept of, hey, look, you're going to have your leg of the relay race, and you could stand there in the middle of the stadium and hold the baton in your hand and look up at the crowd and hear the joy of the clapping and cheering and watch as the rest of the world runs by you. Or you can run ahead in a way that's personally fulfilling to you. And yeah, maybe you're going to sprint a different portion of that leg, or you're going to define in terms of what it is that you're doing. And certainly, however the leg prior was run is going to be different than how you run yours and how the one to whom you're handing it off. But let's all cheer each other on. Let's all coach each other. Let's all train together. Let's all measure performance together. These are all things that unify the family. In a way that although the outcome is different and the generations are different, the team still wins. And again, that's really what we're trying to message here.
Really some great information right there. And I really appreciate how you broke that down as well. Most helpful today. We're speaking with Mr. Steve Braverman, co-chairman of Pathstone, an advisory firm providing advice to help clients create, manage, and preserve wealth across generations. His book is Your Time with the Baton, Winning the Relay Race of Family Wealth Stewardship, that shares how to embrace the opportunity of wealth management and transfer here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, another question for you. You talk about how the process of wealth transfer is like a relay race. It certainly, obviously, you wrote the book on that angle. Describe what you do here.
Well, certainly, yes. So it is as much as I've said, Eric, thank you, that drafting the trust documents, many people view that as the end of it. It is certainly a part of it. So for all of us as entrepreneurs who are listening here today, we always plan within our business. We've got budgets, we've got forecasts, we've got good documents. Multi-generational family wealth management embraces those same concepts. You know, the old adage from Ben Franklin is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so, you know, good generational succession planning is grounded in good details on the front end. But then, you know, again, as we've been espousing here, you know, don't stop with the document. Really use it as an opportunity to impart knowledge, to create partnership, to really deepen relationships. And really, you know, I mean, I'll use this as an example, Eric. Set appropriate guidelines. You know, we talk in the book about getting to the top of the podium, where top is indicative of talent, opportunity, and passion. And it's really speaking to that next generation and say, here's where I see talent in you. Here's what I see you demonstrating in terms of passionate engagement with that talent. And here's the opportunity that I want to give you as a successful entrepreneur, as a grantor of multi-generational family wealth, and really help that next gen plan their leg of the race the same way we plan our businesses. And, you know, be legitimate. You know, if a family member says, oh, I want to make movies for a living, then, you know, if they're hanging around a movie set and their movie never makes it, you know, beyond DVD distribution, then, you know, are you really doing the right things? So set, you know, attainable but responsible goals. You know, I think about the football Manning family and the idea that, you know, have reasonable goals doesn't mean that you have to beat the generation prior to you in terms of doing better. Just do well, right? So Archie Manning, a very well-celebrated football quarterback, could have only dreamt that he would have had two sons that both would have won Super Bowls. But what about the generation after Peyton and Eli? You know, how can they feel that they are winning their leg of the race, that they are perpetuating the family legacy? Do they have to win two Super Bowls each? So, you know, the idea is setting and measuring attainable goals, empowering by way of grantor opportunity, that passion and talent, and really making sure that you start from a good grounding in planning. And that's really where firms like Pathstone are fully built to touch on all parts of that. And provide the information and partnership and education and perspective and in some ways distance so that a team can be in service rather than just leaving it to, you know, that grantor, that entrepreneur. They don't have to do it alone. There are people like us that can help.
Now, Mr. Braverman, what's the best way to prepare the incoming generation for preserving the family's legacy?
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. So we talk in terms of allowing them to be empowered around owning their legacy. So, you know, the context here is we're trying to give this next gen a platform, an audience, a basis on which to be able to feel like, hey, I can be part of a positive conversation with the grantor generation and say, look, my passion is in the arts. My passion is in education. My passion is in, you know, building a particular business in an emerging sector. I understand that the family's made its wealth in steel manufacturing, but my passion is not in being the next generation leader of the steel business. And so, you know, being able for that next gen to be able to say to the granting generation, I honor you, I respect you, I have gratitude for the opportunity that you've given. I'm not here to consume the wealth. I'm here to benefit from the opportunity that wealth affords in terms of constructive and thoughtful risk taking. And here's how I've got a business plan, or here's how I've got a desire to, you know, be accountable to you as my facilitator, because I'm going to set up this coffee shop or set up this dance studio or set up this career where I'm going to pursue acting or philanthropic activities. It's opening the door in a way to say, look, I can find a way to perpetuate family success that isn't so narrowly defined as the success of the existing family business. You know, this is, Eric, again, as I'm sure all your listeners realize, capital markets evolve quickly. And you talk about the difference amongst generations. Today's world is made up of such an active capital markets, robust environment, that it's very hard to perpetuate family businesses for 2, 3, 4, 5 generations, because there's just too many ways to monetize there's too many ways to create, you know, successful equity-based outcomes for people that have partnered with the operating family and being there from day one, day two, or day 20. And so it's very unlikely, or at least less likely, that families are going to be perpetuating businesses multi-generationally. So for entrepreneurs who feel passionate about the companies they've built and the families that they're supporting, this is a way to win at both.
Well, we certainly have appreciated your time spent with us here today. A lot of great information, and I'm sure you have given the wake-up call to folks that are really squandering this situation and should take action ASAP. And your information certainly has helped in that regard, so thank you for that. As we conclude, and one last question, you compare a relay race to how families of wealth can help future generations identify and succeed. How else can this concept apply to other situations and not about wealth transfer?
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Appreciate the opportunity to touch on that for a couple minutes. You know, we say it here in the book, every interaction is a passing of the baton moment. So, you know, a teacher can look to a student and say, what are you interested in? Let me help you get those added resources or that concentrated area of study. Certainly, we as employers can talk to our employees, and certain all of us that as entrepreneurs with employees who are passionate about our business, find those that love the operations side of the business, love the finance side of the business, love the sales side of the business. You know, how can we empower, how can we help that emerging sales leader in our department, you know, have the tools, have the access to management, have the empowerment moment so that they can make a career decision to effectively stay with the entrepreneurial business and continue to be part of and grow. You know, we all want to avoid the Peter principle with our key employees. And so, you know, the way to apply it daily, Eric, is to really think about personal interactions and who am I engaging with and what makes them tick and how can I help make them more successful? And if I do so, certainly that's going to accrue benefits to me. It's certainly going to accrue benefits to society. And so, you know, I'm of the belief that if we take that perspective, the world will be a better place. Companies will be more successful. Families will thrive. And that's what I certainly hope people take out of reading the book.
Well, again, we certainly appreciate all that you do and for joining us here today and for taking or making the effort to write this book, Your Time with the Baton. Where can listeners get more information on yourself, on the book, and also pick up the book?
Thank you. So yourbatontime.com maps out some of these key concepts. Be a great place for anyone to visit to get more information in terms of reaching me for any follow-on questions.
And of course, as always, we'll include this link and other pertinent links within the show notes of this broadcast. Mr. Braverman, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, truly my pleasure. Thank you for your time and wishing everyone continued success. Thanks so much.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Steve Braverman, co-chairman of Pathstone, an advisory firm providing advice to help clients create, manage, and preserve wealth across generations. Again, his book is Your Time with the Baton, Winning the Relay Race of Family Wealth Stewardship. And for all the details, visit yourbatontime.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.